Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March 22nd, and a glimmer of hope from the Greek Freak. Your boy Matt Shook is here, your host for Locked On Pistons. I'm an AP freelancer here in Chicago, covering the NBA, been a Pistons fan my whole life, and I'm a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Found out that I get the assignment for the Pistons' final game of the season here in the Windy City, so I'll be live there from the United Center for that one. But today we're going to be talking about the injury news that might have you holding the phone a little bit about the Pistons' playoff possibilities. We're also going to be looking ahead to the game tonight against the NBA's best team, the Houston Rockets, and we'll also have my interview with Kay Felder, a Detroiter with the Grand Rapids Drive, and he's also a two-way player for the Detroit Pistons. We're going to be talking about life in the organization that he grew up cheering for and how that's affected his play as of late. I'll also have some thoughts on the G League. I went to my first G League game ever on Tuesday night, and later on we're going to be hearing from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver about the modern consumer of the NBA and where coverage is going, an excerpt from the interview he did with Locked On NBA's David Locke, and I'll have some thoughts on the modern consumer of the NBA as well. But hey guys, if you've already busted your bracket, there's still a way for you to cash in on March Madness at mybookie.ag. If you haven't signed up yet, it is not too late. It doesn't matter if you've been a player for years or you like a team because their colors match your favorite shoes. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops, especially this weekend with the Michigan Wolverines. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Not a problem if you come join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and my listeners, and that's why I'm telling you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay, fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. Join now. MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Play, win, and get paid. But for the Pistons' sake, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, he went down on Wednesday night, and maybe the Pistons have some hope because of that. Obviously, something crazy needed to happen for the Pistons to have a chance to climb back into the Eastern Conference playoff race. And was that ankle injury the crazy thing last night? Well, probably not, but who knows. Giannis, in the game on Wednesday night, tripped over teammate Shabazz Muhammad in Wednesday's loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. It was called a sprained ankle, and there was no immediate word after the game about what the extent of the injury would be. He stayed on the court afterwards, tried to play it off, but he kind of hobbled around a little bit, and it didn't look like he was going to be able to continue, so they took him out. Obviously, this isn't the Reggie Jackson ankle sprain, and it's not going to put him out for a whole bunch of time. Obviously, he'll be back for the playoffs, considering, assuming that the Milwaukee Bucks are in the playoffs. But it could be big for the Pistons. Why? Because the Bucks have a couple very winnable games up next before they hit the road for a very tough road trip where they could lose games even with Giannis back in the lineup. So if he misses the next two, that could be a big deal. If he misses Friday night at Chicago and then Sunday at home against the San Antonio Spurs, two very winnable games, the Bucks could lose those games without their best player on the court. Then, like I said, the tough four-game West Coast road trip. You got the Clippers again, Golden State, the Lakers, and a desperate Denver Nuggets team. Then they come home for Boston. So a crucial stretch and a chance for Detroit to possibly climb back into the race. Meanwhile, after tonight, the Pistons face a huge uphill climb, obviously, against the Rockets. The Pistons host Chicago on Saturday, the second of a back-to-back for them. They host the Lakers on Monday, who are on a three-game losing streak and playing for nothing right now, the fourth game of a four-game roadie for Luke Walton's squad. Then the Pistons are home against Washington, and they go to New York for a swing against the Knicks and the Nets, who are on the second of a back-to-back that game as well. So winnable games, all of them for the Pistons, if you'd like to join me on an optimist streak here for a couple seconds. By the way, during that loss to the Clippers, the Bucks were victimed by 18 points from Tobias Harris, the former Piston, and the loss for the Bucks puts the Pistons to within five games of Milwaukee, and remember, the Pistons do have the tiebreaker against Milwaukee because of the better divisional record against the Bucks. Now, the numbers are bearing out that the Pistons do have a little bit of a glimmer of hope, like I mentioned to it, quietly the Pistons' chances of making the playoffs are rising. 538.com, which had the Pistons as low as 2% the other day, now up to 5%. So obviously not a reason to have a parade up and down Woodward Avenue quite yet, but the chance of making it is rising, and that's no coincidence as the Bucks have dropped to 95% with their recent slide lately. So everything else in the East is basically set. The Pistons, by the way, have a 3% chance, according to that website, of getting into the top three of the lottery. So the playoff hopes are better than the lottery hopes right now, so we can maybe celebrate that as well. By the way, the Miami Heat beat the Knicks on Wednesday night at home, so you can basically forget about them. Pistons now 6.5 games behind Miami, and the Heat have the conference record tiebreaker over Detroit, and that's not going to change. So the magic number to watch right now is the one with the Bucks. It's still the magic number is 7 against Milwaukee. Both teams have 11 games to go, so 22 chances of that magic number being whittled down from 7 to probably 0 sometime. Maybe not so much in the near future, but it might come down to, you know, 3 or 4 games left in the season or something like that. Better than we maybe would have hoped for about a week ago. And maybe this Giannis injury really does change things for the Pistons and the Bucks' fortunes for this season. The next one is tonight as the Pistons battle the Houston Rockets, the best team in the NBA, certainly as of this moment. The Rockets have a 4-game cushion on Golden State for best record in the Western Conference, so it's not like this team is in a dogfight or anything. But that said, it hasn't mattered lately. They're on a 6-game winning streak right now since Toronto snapped the 17-game surge that they had a little bit ago. The Rockets playing better than anyone in the NBA right now, and they are home now after a 3-game road trip that ended on Tuesday night. So not a whole lot of rest, but certainly not a back-to-back situation that the Pistons could take advantage of. The Rockets, however, do have consecutive home games coming up soon after they play the Pistons and the Pelicans. They will play Atlanta, Chicago, and Phoenix all at home. So certainly no immediate danger of a letdown or losing streak in the standings or anything like that. So, but they could be beaten if the Pistons play as desperate as they need to tonight. The Pistons already had a win against the Rockets earlier this year in Detroit, and James Harden didn't play in that one, although. So the Chris Paul, by the way, a hamstring injury right now, officially listed as questionable for tonight's game, but he has said he won't miss time. But it's possible that it could be sidelined tonight as kind of a rest/recovery night. You never know. Obviously, the Rockets are looking ahead to a long playoff run and need him to be healthy. But if he does play, maybe he's limited in minutes or effectiveness. And that doesn't change the fact that presumptive league MVP James Harden is out of his mind lately, obviously. But Paul's injury has the game off the board for most gambling sites, including ours at mybookie.ag. But I did see one sports book that had it an 11.5 point spread in favor of course, the Rockets. So an uphill climb, certainly, no doubt. But obviously Reggie Jackson's return, you know, who knows what that could mean for the Pistons. He could get exposed against two of the best guards in the NBA tonight. Or maybe that lifts up the team's emotional state a little bit as well. So have we seen evidence that the Pistons can play with the Houston Rockets? Absolutely not. But maybe this season takes a little bit of a turn tonight. I'm going to watch the game. I'm optimistic about what could happen. Not getting my hopes up quite yet or anything like that, but maybe we'll see if the Pistons can give a little last-ditch effort here. But if the Pistons can somehow beat the Rockets and the Bulls can upset the Bucks, especially if Giannis doesn't play on Friday night, then I will say it might be time to once again resume scoreboard watching. But for now, maybe just stay on standby instead. But we're going to be talking to Kay Felder, the Detroiter with the Grand Rapids Drive, the former Oakland University star, and I'll be giving my thoughts on the G League experience after this. But we've been asking all year if your company is interested in reaching men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want to reach men 18 and 44, this is your spot. Provincial Detroit sports fans, they want to support their own and podcasts, as you have seen probably online. Great conversion numbers that can really help out your company that we provide. So plus our rates are reasonable, and it's an easy test if you want to see if it's going to work out well for your company in the long run. So email me at Matt_Shook, SCHOCH, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on Locked On Pistons, we're going to hear from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on reaching young fans. He talked to Locked On NBA host David Locke. But I went to the Grand Rapids Drive taking on the Windy City Bulls on Tuesday night. I got some thoughts on the G League game here. I've seen many, many high school games with more people at it. They announced that there was 1,249 people in attendance there in suburban Chicago at the Sears Center. Not that Sears Center, but the Sears Center RE in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. I'm dubious of that 1249 number, by the way. I looked and Grand Rapids has been getting about 3,000 a game lately, reportedly, at the Delta Plex in Grand Rapids. Coach Ryan Kruger of the team noted that the enthusiasm about the drive is pretty high, and he mentioned that on the podcast yesterday that the guys have enjoyed playing in front of those fans in West Michigan. I think that the approach for minor leagues of being in that secondary market in a state, as opposed to the Bulls down here, what they're doing is they're in the suburbs of the same team. So I meet Chicago Bulls fans at my day job every day, and they have never even heard of the Windy City Bulls in some ways, and they're playing right down the road. I think it's a better approach to find those Grand Rapids types markets, really get a foothold in there. Everyone in Grand Rapids knows about the drive at this point, and just kind of take advantage of that secondary market that's, you know, a three-hour drive or so away in case players need to go back and forth, you know, kind of the Toledo Mud Hens model that the Detroit Tigers have. I really do respect the hustle of minor league teams in every sport, and you got to establish that culture, you got to do those promos, you got to get in the community, do the giveaway, the hustle of those small teams. I saw it in Springfield, Missouri with the Springfield Cardinals. You got to just kind of sell what you are, and in some ways it's a little bit easier in baseball and hockey than it might be in basketball. But hopefully the thing with the Grand Rapids Drive grows in the long term. They share a market with the Grand Rapids Griffins, the Red Wings AHL team, which is basically their AAA team as well. The Griffins have had a longer time to establish that culture at Van Andel Arena, which is kind of the staple of downtown Grand Rapids. The Delta Plex is a little bit out of that downtown area. Plus, I feel like hockey is a little bit better of a product for the minor leagues. You have real prospects down there in the AHL that will probably play for the Red Wings, possibly in starring roles. So you watch that development happen before your eyes, knowing that these are guys that you'll watch with the big club as time goes on. And plus, you know, it's hockey. You just need some cold beer and some fights will happen and you're good. And it's a good time out with the family and all that stuff. The G League basketball has a bit of an uphill climb in that way compared to hockey and basketball. You could argue in some ways that the most important things this summer that are going to happen for the Detroit Tigers are things that are going to happen in Lakeland and West Michigan and Erie, the lower levels of the Detroit Tigers farm system. You really can't make that at all that argument about the Grand Rapids Drive with the amount of players on a roster. And anytime you get a first round pick, like Luke Kennard played one game with the Grand Rapids Drive, but there was no way he was going to be on anything but the Detroit Pistons roster and in the rotation and all that good stuff. So I've made, and also along those same lines, I've made the argument a little bit on this podcast before about the NBA game getting a little bit stale in some ways and a little bit less fan-friendly, which sounds a little bit counterintuitive with the three-pointers. We heard for years about the Pistons, the going-to-work guys, and the Pacers, those playoff games being dreadful to watch. I don't know. I actually enjoyed them, and I know a lot of Pistons fans probably agree with me in some ways. But when you got the new NBA with the three-pointers going up every possession, I mean, every other possession, you get the Golden State Warriors perfected it over the last couple years. The Houston Rockets are doing it now, and it's the way to win. Obviously, I'm not making an argument that teams shouldn't be doing it, but it's not. When a team like the Warriors or a team that moves the ball as well as they have, the Spurs of the championship teams for the last few, you know, a few years ago now, that's good basketball to watch. But when you have teams doing bad imitations of it, I just feel like maybe you're losing a little something with the game. I'm watching as a fan something that I could do when guys are throwing up three-pointers. I'd rather see guys doing things that I can't do, contesting for space, dunking in small areas, dunking over guys and stuff like that. That point gets driven home a little bit more in a G League game, and that's just maybe some of you listeners disagree completely with what I'm saying about the three-point game. But when you're watching G League teams doing bad impersonations of that spread offense and kind of just throwing up jump shots, It comes a little bit more pronounced when you watch those kind of things like I did on Tuesday night. But by the way, Grand Rapids could lock up a playoff spot in the G League on Friday night with a win at home in the Deltaplex against Greensboro, and then they're going to wrap up the regular season. They got another chance for that win in case they don't get it on Friday night. On Saturday night against Long Island, obviously, if they get a little help from some of the other teams in the standings, then they'll wrap up that playoff berth in the wild card without getting either of those wins. But if they do get through this weekend and into the playoffs, that would be the first time that the Grand Rapids Drive made the playoffs in their 4 years of the franchise's existence. But the big news about the Drive is their new part owner, Pete Wallner of the Grand Rapids Press, the sports coordinator there, wrote last week in the newspaper that Ben Wallace, if you maybe you've heard of him, he's on board as a new part owner of the team. That's expected to be announced this week, probably on Friday night. Ben is now on Twitter, so you should be following Big Ben on the social media platform there. And he said yesterday that a big announcement is coming on Friday, so that's probably what that is too. So it's nice to see the Drive kind of tapping into the Pistons' root there. Now on the court, the Drive looked like a much better, well-oiled machine against the Windy City Bulls on Tuesday night, but the Bulls were without their best player, Antonio Blakeney of LSU. He was up with the big club in Chicago, but Blakeney is the league's leading scorer at 32 points per game, by the way. But for the Drive, Landry Nioko, the big man from Clemson, he's kind of a name to watch, 6'10", got those wide shoulders, great body, a big man there. He kind of feasted on Chicago's little team on Tuesday. KJ McDaniels, a former rookie Philadelphia 76ers player who made waves when he was with that tanking team back then. He's trying to rejuvenate his career a little bit with the Grand Rapids Drive and also with the Detroit Pistons. Reggie Hearn, the other two-way player alongside Kay Felder. He didn't do much on Tuesday, but he was up with Detroit and made a basket, scored a jumper, and got the game ball from Blake Griffin in one of Blake's first games when he was traded back in January. Derek Willis, he was a rare four-year player at Kentucky recently. He's a guy that I saw play in high school for his Louisville team back at the Tournament of Champions in Springfield a few years back when I was in Missouri. He's a pretty good stretch four type player, pretty athletic guy, a name to watch for Pistons fans as well. But the big attraction for the Grand Rapids Drive right now, it's Kay Felder, the Oakland University lead guard, 5'9", but he does a lot of things well out there. He looked good in the first half defensively against Windy City on Tuesday, but he only scored 2 points, and he missed the second half of the game with some back soreness. Kay Felder, he's getting 16.8 points per game in the 20 games that he's had with the Drive, and he is leading the team in scoring. But anyways, I caught up with Kay after Tuesday's game in Chicago, and here is that interview now.
We're here with Kay Felder of the Grand Rapids Drive and Detroit Pistons. Kay, how would you assess, you've been here with the Grand Rapids for a big chunk of the season now, how would you assess how things are going for you here?
Yeah, it's been going great for me here, just developing and learning the Pistons system and, you know, trying to get wins and, you know, the goals I've set for myself, trying to reach them while I'm here.
And now that you're with the organization that you grew up rooting for in Detroit, does it feel a little bit different to be part of a Pistons organization as opposed to others?
Oh, yeah, it definitely has a little bit more oomph on it, you know. Definitely smile more often than, you know, because I'm at home, get to see my family and things like that. So, you know, being a part of the Pistons organization is definitely way more special than being anywhere else.
And are there some particular things that you're focusing to try to take your game to the next level and maybe get to the NBA and stick for a permanent job?
Definitely. A couple of things I'm looking for just in myself, be more vocal, you know, run the team, and basically play D hard as possible. You know, those three things right there, you know, I'm setting the standard real high for myself. So that way, you know, that's what teams and, you know, not just the Pistons look for, but any organization looks for, especially being a small guard, you're going to get tested every day. So I'm fighting every day for it.
What's the life of a two-way player like? I mean, you have a bag packed at all times in case you get the call, or you wake up every day kind of checking the phone for texts or the right phone call or something like that?
No, I don't do any of that. I just live my life regularly. I mean, if I get the call, I get the call. If I don't, I'm wherever I'm at, I'm living normal. I don't have a bag packed or anything like that. When a call comes, they'll notify me and things like that. So the life of a two-way player, you just got to be ready for anything, honestly.
What surprised you about this team? I mean, some of your teammates that have been playing well down the stretch, what are some things that stand out about the Drive out there with you?
things that stand out to me is that we're not afraid to play hard. We're not afraid to just leave it all out there. We're not holding anything back. We know what's at stake for us, and you know, we all got individual goals that corresponds with the team's goals. So we're doing a great job right now.
You guys are on the verge of clinching a playoff berth, hopefully this weekend, as you close out the season with two wins, hopefully at home in Grand Rapids. But what about the offseason looking ahead? Are you got some, you know, camps or clinics around Detroit, or vacation plans or anything like that?
Well, I do my camp every year. I know that's one thing that I'm for sure going to do. Other than that, I'm only focused on finishing the season.
What's going to be the key for you guys to advance far in the playoffs and win a championship with Grand Rapids?
To advance far, we just have to keep sticking to our principles, you know, keep going over the game plan, make sure we're focused and practice and the shoot around, so that way we know what's going on and make sure we're locked in the player personnel. So we're just going to take it one game at a time. We want to make the playoffs, of course, but at the end of the day, we're going to take it one game at a time and keep improving ourselves. And right now, we're on a four-game winning streak. You know, that's a blessed position to be in. We're trying to get to the playoffs, so it's just a blessed situation.
Okay. And Kay Felder, former star at Oakland University, now with the Detroit Pistons in Grand Rapids Drive. Congratulations on your success so far this year, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Kay Felder, not the only big-time guest here on Locked On Pistons. David Locke of Locked On NBA and also Locked On Jazz, the Utah Jazz radio announcer who founded this network, and it was named after him. Shouts to David. He does a great job running the network. My boss, so obviously I have to say nice things about him. But Thursday's episode of Locked On NBA, that's today. You should also be subscribed to that podcast, by the way. It's 5 days a week now with rotating hosts. But David Locke caught up with Adam Silver, the commissioner. Has a bunch of great stuff in there. I've heard a lot of the excerpts. We played one of them yesterday. But today, I've got another one for you, and it's a really interesting look at the younger generation and how the NBA plans on reaching some of those fans. So here's that.
Let's move to the next generation. I had a friend come into town the other day from Seattle where they don't have a team. His son's a huge fan. He's 16 years old. He saw two games on Christmas, and he absorbed all of his other content from YouTube, Instagram, and everything else. How do we work ourselves so that we support these fans, and how do they alter the game as they move into the primary generation?
You know, another great question. I continue to believe there's no substitute for the live broadcast of our game, and at least so far, although people have been predicting the demise of live sports with the mass availability of highlights, at least in the NBA, it's worked the opposite direction. Our ratings are up. Our ratings have been up over the last few years. And what we're seeing is, to use a sort of a snacks and meals metaphor, is that the fans seem certain group of fans seem content to snack, in essence, on highlights, but they still want meals, and the meals are the live game. So we still hold those live game broadcasts pristine, meaning that if someone's pirating a live game stream, we'll obviously go after them and get them to shut it down. On the other hand, we've embraced YouTube, we've embraced Twitter and these other platforms that make our highlights available. Now, there's a sort of separate issue in terms of a next generation that's cutting the cord on cable and satellite television and is getting their programming elsewhere. I think we're going to have to go directly to them. I think it would be foolhardy to sit around and just keep our fingers crossed and hope that they keep their cable and satellite subscriptions. That new generation is consuming it, and they just cross lines where now they're consuming a majority of their programming on their phones rather than through television sets. So one of the things we're going to do is bring our games directly to them. We do that through League Pass right now. We're in discussions with our primary U.S. carriers, with ESPN and TNT, about how we're going to make their games available to consumers on their phones, because they're looking at the same issues. In fact, you know, the deal hasn't been approved yet right now, and it's in the courts, but it's got to be a large part of the reason why AT&T is, acquiring Time Warner, just so they can have that content to make it available to cell phone subscribers.
A lot of interesting stuff from Adam Silver in the interview with David Locke. We did a good job throwing some different types of questions at him, including, will Mexico City be a viable market for the NBA? And other questions like that. What will his legacy be as commissioner? Just a lot of different stuff that Adam Silver usually doesn't talk about all that much. But go ahead and check out mybookie.ag. get yourself an edge for the March Madness this weekend. The Michigan Wolverines in action tonight against Robert Williams and Texas A&M. Watch that big man of A&M. He's a project type player, thought of as maybe the next DeAndre Jordan type of Texas A&M, and might be a top 10 pick as well. If the Pistons can get back into the first round of the draft, he might be a guy that they would look at possibly there as well. But we'll be looking at the Houston Rockets game, which is tonight. We'll be breaking that down tomorrow on Locked On Pistons, and also looking ahead to the weekend as well. So a lot of great content this week. I want to thank you guys for listening. Give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net, and also give us a like at Locked On NBA. I'm sorry, at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook on Facebook, and also on the Twitter feed at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. Give us a follow there as well. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks again to Kay Felder for joining us from the Grand Rapids Drive, and I appreciate you guys and all the support that you give the podcast. So we'll talk to you all again soon.